So tonight we're going to talk about Moses, and sometimes at the Esquire we talk, by band. Sometimes in the Esquire we talk about people that maybe you've never heard about before. And last Sunday, for example, Pastor Adam talked about a character named Melchizedek. How many of y'all ever heard of Melchizedek, right? Well, it's a great character, but he doesn't show up much, three or four times in the entire Bible. He's kind of a mysterious character, and there's a lot of speculation who it is, and Pastor Adam did a great job talking about him. I learned a lot. I enjoy his messages on Sunday. But tonight, we're going to talk about someone that pretty much everyone knows about. How many have ever heard of Moses? See, a lot of hands went up there. Moses is a very, very famous person, not only in the Bible, but in the history of the world. Even people who maybe not read the Bible or know anything about the Bible have heard of Moses. He's a major character in the Bible. He led Israel out of bondage, and most people, when you think of Moses, you think of all these powers that he had, all these special powers or the miracles he did or these big situations that he got his people out of. You think about the 10 plagues or some of the things that happened on the journey. He had a lot of power. But tonight I want to talk about a part of Moses' character that I think can be a good takeaway for us. And we're going to look at an event that maybe where this power started, an important event in his life. We may know about Moses from church or books or TV shows or movies. He was a powerful man who did some amazing things. But do you know when Moses started, he was insecure. He wasn't confident. He wasn't known for his power, or that's not a way that people characterized him. Lots of us may feel like that at times. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you don't have confidence in your abilities, or you don't have confidence in maybe what you think God might want you to do. Maybe you are insecure about that or just unsettled, or you just don't have a lot of confidence. Lots of us feel like that. And that's how Moses started out. So one time, before really Moses' career started, Moses was a shepherd, and he was out looking after his sheep. And he goes by a mountain, and he sees something, and he gets closer, and it's actually a bush burning, a burning bush. And the thing that is written about this bush, what was special, is that it kept burning, and it didn't burn up. The Bible says the bush was not consumed. It just kept burning. And Moses, you know, he knew it had to be something that odd maybe or special, and he approached this bush, and he actually has a conversation with the Lord, the Bible says in Exodus 3. The Lord spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. Maybe you've heard of that. It's pretty famous, the burning bush. That's the first big contact that the Lord makes with Moses. Moses comes up to the bush, and the first thing that he tells Moses to do, the band sing about it, was to take off his shoes, because this place, the Lord said, was holy ground. Not supposed to wear shoes on it. You're in a holy place that's set apart. The Lord was there, so the Lord told Moses to take off his shoes. So at that moment, God began to tell Moses the big plans he had for Moses. Now, Moses was a shepherd. He wasn't even around people much. He would be out and herd the flock and do the job of a shepherd. And the plans that the Lord told Moses, they weren't just any plans. They were very special, big, important plans that would affect the lives of many, many people. God tells Moses that he is going to send him right into the Pharaoh's throne room and tell Pharaoh that Pharaoh must let God's people go. Can you imagine how Moses felt? If he was a little insecure before, once he heard that, he's probably like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. This is too big. I don't mind doing what God wants, but this is too big for me. So immediately, once he hears what he's supposed to do, Moses starts backpedaling. He tries to get out of it. Hey, I don't know about you. There have been times in my life when I thought God wanted me to do something, and I really didn't think I could do it, and I kind of think of ways out or backpedal or excuses, so I can relate to this. I can put myself in here and learn something about myself, and I appreciate that about the Bible. You know what the Bible does? It takes someone as great as Moses and just gets down and tells you the truth about what happened. It doesn't overpaint the characters. It shows you sometimes that people have weak moments. They have insecure, unsettled moments, and that's what Moses had. So Moses says that he doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know what to do, that he's not good enough, that he feels insufficient. And then here's a couple of verses that I'd like to read tonight. This is after the excuses that Moses makes. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. He threw it on the ground and became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. This is a big point. It's a million-dollar point. And when God tells Moses that he has a big plan for him, and Moses starts to tell God that he's not good enough, or he's insufficient, or he's not prepared, or he doesn't feel like he can do it, God asks him, what's in your hand? What have you got? What are you holding there? And it's like God saying, just be who you are. Don't try to be too much. Use what I've already given you. Moses, you may have only been a shepherd, but I want you to use what you already have, how I've already made you, and I'm going to show you that you have enough. So Moses says a rod, or, you know, we might say a stick. What is in your hand, Moses? What have you got? I've got a stick. And then God begins to use that stick. He says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you I have more power. I can put more power in your life than you realize right now. What do you got? What are you using? All I've got is a stick, Lord. That's it. Now, this stick, it's pretty, it's a basic stick, right? I actually got this out of closet, and there's a lot of clothes on the floor right now. I mean, that's just a normal stick, right, Gary? Yeah, just a normal old stick. You can touch it. It's Pastor Adam. I did see him, and he gave it a blessing on the way in, so I was happy about that. I mean, it's just a normal stick. And Moses said, this is what I've got, Lord. All I've got is a stick to give you. And God, okay, let's use it. So the first thing is that he put it on the ground, and it became a snake. Now, I'm not going to use that illustration tonight because I'm really afraid of snakes. But see, this was just a plain, ordinary stick, and once Moses gave it to the Lord, God did some amazing things with this stick and through Moses' life. Now, this isn't a special stick. It wasn't a magic stick. It was a normal stick. And God did amazing things with this. Do you know in addition to throwing it down on the ground and it becoming a snake, there were other things that happened with this stick as a central part of the story. One time, they were fighting a battle. And the Lord says, here's how you're going to win. Moses, you sit on a rock and you hold up your rod. And as long as you hold that up, our army's going to win. And he did, but he got tired, you know. And so it began to fall. And so Moses says, you put Aaron on one side and a guy named Hur on the other. And they're going to lift your hands, and as long as you hold that stick up, you're going to win the battle. And they did. So, again, God is showing his power through what Moses gave him at the burning bush. You know what else the most famous thing the stick did? It parted the Red Sea. It says Moses stretched for that stick, and that Red Sea parted, and Israel crossed and got away from the enemies. So, that's what God does. You just give him what you have, and it may just be like as normal as an old stick that Moses found. It wasn't a magic stick. It was just what Moses used. It was part of who he was. He uses it to, you know, get sheep to go where he wanted to go. But once he gave that to the Lord, God showed great power through something ordinary. You know, that's a picture of our life. We are just ordinary people with problems and pain and just ordinariness, if that's even a word. But if you give what you are, who you are, what you have to the Lord, no matter how ordinary it might seem to you, you give it, God can do something amazing through your ordinary gift. If you just give it to him, he can do that. I know a little boy who gave a lunch, ordinary lunch, and Jesus turned that in and fed 5,000 people and had 12 baskets. That's what God does. God doesn't need you to give him something really great. He wants just your ordinary self. He'll do something great through you. So once Moses did that, it wasn't necessarily Moses' rod. It was called the rod of the Lord in the Bible. So I bet Moses never thought of that stick the same way again. God took something very plain and ordinary and common and did miracles through him, so many miracles that he delivered his entire nation out of bondage. What a thing. It started that burning bush. What's in your hand? Hey, I want to ask you tonight, what's in your hand? What do you got? What have you got tonight? Maybe you have insecurities. Maybe you don't think you could do anything big like Moses. The same question can go for all of us tonight. What do you got? What would you give the Lord if he asked? Doesn't have to be great. It just has to be given with a willing heart. So I'll tell you a story and we'll be done. So when I first, it was in November of 87 when I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to forgive me and begin a relationship with me, and he did. I was in a house. I lived with Gary and another guy at that point. And so I got on my knees right there in Kansas City and asked Jesus to forgive me. I knew I was a sinner, and he did. And he began a relationship with me. I didn't deserve it, but I claimed the promise that he would do that, and he did it. Now, I didn't start out on stage speaking. Didn't start out. I didn't know what I could. I didn't have very much to give because I hadn't gone to church. I didn't really know how to act in church. You know, I grew up in church, but I went a long time there, far away from God, and it didn't have anything to do with God or God's people. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't have much. But I did know how to play a little bit of the piano. So there was one night, not too many months after I became a Christian, that, I kind of thought, you know, I want to serve in some way. But like Moses, I didn't have much. The only thing I could do, I used to play the piano and the bass guitar in a country and western band. And that's all I had. So I I played the piano. Well, I heard that there was a retirement facility that needed a piano player. I said, you know what? I'll do that. I will do that. That's what I've got. That was my stick. Mike, what have you got? I didn't say a stick. I said, the Lord, I can play a little piano. That's all I do. I can play a little piano. And I did that. And I started that in the summer and had a great time. But then I realized something. Football season is coming, and I'm going to have to miss the Chiefs. And that was hard for me. I'd had season tickets before, and I really loved the Chiefs. So I had to make a choice. I mean, I've loved the Chiefs. I loved them when they were bad. You know, I had season tickets when they were so bad, someone broke in my car and left two more season tickets. They were bad, okay? They were bad. And I didn't want to do it, but I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to play that piano on Sundays. If I miss Chiefs games, I'm going to miss them. So I would get up and go, and I live right by the Chiefs Stadium. And the people, all the rich people from Kansas, I would meet them. I had an easy traffic because nobody was going my way. They were all coming to the Chiefs Stadium. So we would have service and play, and I would play for those. Most of them were ladies in there. We would sing old hymns. I think that's where I got my love of old hymns. And I'd get in my car, and you know, I would meet everybody else coming the other way, and they were all mad because the Chiefs lost. And I thought to myself, you know, God is making my road easy because I'm serving Him. Amen? He will make your road easy when you serve Him. So I would play, and then a guy, his name was Mike, he would get up and do a devotion. Well, one time Mike got sick, and he called me and said, Mike, listen, I don't even know how to ask you this. I'm going to be gone. I need you to step in and just say something from the Bible. I had no idea what to say or how to say it. So I just told him. I played the hymns. I said, okay, the guy's gone. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to start, how to finish. And they said, Mike, just read us verses about heaven. And I did. I found four or five verses about heaven and read that, and that was my first message, and they loved it. They just, a lot, they're all in heaven right now. So, you know, I've often thought of them. So I got to do more and more, and then at one point they asked me if I would just do that. They brought another piano player in, and they would do that. I'll tell you, I have time for one story about that. So one time I just missing the Chiefs so much, I wanted to stop playing the piano. I didn't want to do it anymore. I think that was probably a year later when they got pretty good. They had Joe Montana then. I didn't want to do it anymore. So I drove up to church during the workday, and I was going to go in and tell my pastor, hey, I've done this for about a year and a half. I don't want to do it anymore. And he wasn't there. So I walked back to my car, and a lady parked right by me. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. A lady parks right by me. She's going in. She says, sir, can you help me? I said, yes. How can I help you? She said, well, I play the piano, and I'm wondering if there's some ministry I can plug into. I looked at her, and I said, you're not going to steal my ministry. So I stayed. I didn't quit. That taught me another lesson. God can go on without you. It's not like I'm doing anyone a favor. That is for me. Serving is for you. And I kept doing it. I didn't quit because I think God showed me something there. So one thing led to another. I got more opportunities, and I just took any chance I could get. And then one thing led to another, and you know, I got ordained and everything. And Rhonda and I moved to New Jersey and started that the church in New Jersey. And that's how I started. And it started. I had my what's in your hand moment, and it was, I can play a little piano, and I'm not very good. And the Lord said, Mike, you give that to me, and I will use that. I will use that in your life. And He has, and I appreciate Him for that. You may have no idea what you have tonight. God can give you something. He can take something, some part of who you already are. He knows you. He made you in a special way. And if you are willing to give him something. He can do something special. The more ordinary it is, the better it is. You may say, Mike, I don't have anything. I first of all, I don't know if I believe you. But secondly, when I count to three, I want everyone to smile, okay? And some of you haven't smiled in a while. It's gonna kill you. When I count to three, I want to see everyone smile. One, two, three, smile. Yeah, that's pretty good. You know what? If that's all you've got enough. You can smile. That is a gift. You can help someone have. You can show Jesus' love through a smile, an act. The more ordinary it is, the better it is. So when the Lord asks, hey, what's in your hand? Maybe it's not a stick. Maybe it's not playing the piano. Maybe it's not even a smile. But you got something. And if you give it to the Lord, he could do a miracle through that. Father, thank you for the stories in the Bible. I'm sitting here leaning on the stick as I pray, and I just pray for the ordinary things in our life that you've given us, and you have gifted us, and you have made us, and you know you have a plan for us, and I pray that we'd be willing to give you what we have, give you back the way you've made us, so we can make a difference for you. Thank you for the dear people of the Esquire, and we love you and ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll be back next week with another big character in the Bible.